Oh, it's raining tacos out on the street, and here in the frat quarters, it's just raining jokes and everything else.
God, Perry Grip just makes me so happy no matter what.
Yeah, if you don't like that song, I don't like you. How about that? That's just a rule. We got another episode of the Fratcast. Thanks for joining, everybody. This, of course, your ear rape is Ben, super blogger Vince, drinking rye.
That's me.
Yeah, it's a rye night again.
Oh, it is.
He's got a tall...
It's a tall glass of rye.
It's a tumbler. He's got a tumbler full of rye. Yeah.
No, tumbler would be smaller. This is like...
That's like a pint glass.
Yeah, it's pretty close to a pint glass.
Yeah.
There's a bit of water in there.
There's a touch.
There's a touch.
Yeah.
Just open it up, you know?
Yeah, it brings out the flavor.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Future NFL Hall of Famer Brendan in the house.
These are good tacos.
They are, aren't they?
Zesty.
Oh, every couple months I'll just scroll through Perry Grip's catalog, and I'll find some new ones that I hadn't heard, and I'll just put such a big smile on my face.
Yeah.
It makes my taco pop.
Popping tacos? And Squirrel Master Brett is in the house.
Yuck.
What, popping tacos?
Yuck.
Why is that yuck?
It's gross.
You don't lie, you pop tacos sometimes.
It's gross.
That's from a real commercial.
Popping tacos?
Yeah. Remember that one? It's some... taco sauce and that that gymnast Sean Johnson.
Oh yeah, I do remember that.
Did you pop it or taco?
Oh yeah, make my taco pop. I remember that. I do. Yeah, yeah.
That was really an ad campaign.
Yeah. It was like Ortega or something.
I think it was Ortega. Yeah.
Yuck.
And it had those two twin brothers that did the gymnastics too.
Oh yeah,
the two redheads.
The Homs.
Yeah. I just imagine the procedural cops and the drama, like opening the apartment door and slapping on their latex gloves and being, I don't know what happened to this one. It's like, I've seen this before. Popped their taco. And it's all shots from the victim, so you can't see it, but there's like a rib sticking up or something in the foreground.
You can't see the whole body.
Yeah, they don't show it because that's not rated for TV, right? So it's shot up from the taco popped. The popped taco.
Post taco pop.
Looks like it really popped her taco.
No.
I saw this.
Didn't
back
work.
In,
didn't,
I saw oh, this back in aught eight, Johnson.
That's what I was looking for.
Oh, there you go.
I totally bombed that one.
Yeah, you did, actually. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, sorry.
We should stop now. I don't know if we're going to be able to recover from that.
Well, we do have a fun episode. Vince did a double booking tonight of Laramie and Burnsy.
Yeah.
Hot Goss and Lists.
Oh, he's going to be so excited to come back on.
It's more Burnsy. Of a Burnsy's Corner, I think. But we'll see.
What about
we'll
Burnsy? Can we do Burnsy's Corner of Goss?
Burnsy teased Hot Goss.
Hey, he whatever did. He wants to do, I leave it up to him.
He tweeted out Hot Goss. So if he's lying to me on Twitter...
Tweets are legally binding documents.
Just like, I did love this week. Did anyone else see the Facebook thing where they'll...
Oh, yeah.
I fucking love that. The
privacy settings?
Yeah.
Yeah, where they're like, oh, yeah, we're just going to email your buddy.
No, the whole thing where if you copy and paste the status, which is just five paragraphs of legalese, you're protected.
Yeah. Oh, that's the opt-out?
What were they thinking that you were protected from?
No, it's not. It's just one of those hoaxes. It's like Bill Gates owes you $1 million.
Oh.
What did they think they were opting?
They're taking advantage of the changing privacy settings to do a spoofy
But
hoax.
It didn't...
Yes.
Gotcha. Someone... It's just tricking a bunch of idiots.
Who uses Facebook?
Humans.
Yeah.
But some humans... it was in your status update, you'll put something along the lines of, everything to do with me and my profile is my copyright. And
what is the...
Also, click on this link.
It wasn't
free
the Geneva
Viagra.
Convention, but it was something like that.
The burner convention. Yeah. You know what's funny is my old agent, who is also a lawyer, put that as a status update. I'm like, well, that's why.
Oh, man.
I was listening to the news. Apparently, there is something where they will get... They got the wrist slap last time for changing settings that users had set and then sort of adjusting them. And they're like, oh, here's a email that you can change it back if you want. And the FCC is like, no, you can't do that. Everything has to be opt-in. And so they got a wrist slap for that. And apparently, if they do that shit again, then they get really heavily fined. So what everyone's talking. There is a precedent set where they're going to get rolled this time.
The thing they took away was the ability to vote on your privacy settings.
Right. And they're integrating Instagram. Which is the questionable thing, because they're essentially taking all your contacts and putting them in a different place that you didn't opt into.
Right.
But on what, like, how narcissistic do you have to be to think that, like, Facebook is somehow going to take one of your statuses and like, oh, dude, they're going to take my status and it's going to be the new Facebook campaign slogan. I'm not going to have any right to it because I didn't claim a copyright.
Or they're going
to
like take my profile pic and use it as their marketing campaign. Yeah. I'm not going to see a penny from that.
Like, what were the? I don't understand what people were trying to protect from.
Wait, no, that's not the concern at all. It's that they're selling you to advertisers.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the fucking the dumb host that. Hoax that people were fucking putting that those two paragraphs of like saying everything I write is under my copyright.
Oh, that's not true anywhere you go. You post on somebody's service and you're fucked.
Yeah, I know that. That's why I'm baffled by it.
I think people are would rather
if Facebook is wringing its hands. I've got big plans for this picture of chicken casserole.
Yeah, like what the fuck?
Mark's up in his tower.
Right.
Look at this chick's feet on the beach. Oh, this will make such a postcard.
I'm going to start jerking off to it right now.
Just an entire side industry making money off people's crappy pictures.
This guy is so drunk.
Man, look at this Halloween costume.
These three chicks doing the Charlie's Angel pose. I'm going to make a book of these.
Righteous.
Oh, man, these people are carrying Christmas trees around the city.
This changes everything.
Thanks to everyone who has continued to get the download from Chicago. Thank you. The T-shirts as well are going out this week. And the video, Mike from Tall Tale said we should have it this week, so go out this week as well. So thanks, everybody. Broadcast.com. Tell your mom.
Woo!
Yeah.
And she'll tell her mom.
Well,
we're going to be those two
moms are going to space dock.
Yeah, I don't know how it goes after that. I haven't totally felt the same.
Well, that's when it goes viral. Yeah. Those moms telling moms.
Right. We're going to get rich.
Yeah. That's when you know. That's when you
do
get
you know how many moms there are? Five at least.
Well, there's ones on Teen Mom.
Oh, all right. That's a good segue, I guess.
Shazam.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to watch this. One thing they don't tell you when you buy an iPad, my computer crapped out, and I was like, do I need all the computing power of like a new MacBook?
You just
like,
stomped all over Ben's perfect segue.
Buy an iPad.
No, it's good.
I tried to watch this video on my iPad, and what they don't tell you is how many shitty ass websites are out there that just do not integrate with mobile.
Yeah, anything with Flash.
Oh, yeah, dude, you don't want to go down the fucking video codec nightmare. You try and license any of that shit, or put some video somewhere that isn't just you dicking off on the internet. Like actually sell a thing that runs video, and you're just sort of fucked. It's awful.
Yeah.
Sad day in the internet for Brendan.
Well, it's been an ongoing frustration.
Oh, no.
Maybe once we strike it rich with this broadcast thing, I'll go buy myself a new MacBook.
There you go.
Oh, snap.
You're only a couple weeks away from that.
Yes.
That payday.
All right. But
a couple moms.
So Teen Mom, this is...
It's Teen Mom 2.
Teen Mom 2.
Moms. Yeah. To all the Teen Moms.
This is all I've ever seen of Teen Mom 2, and I got to tell you, I'm hooked already. So.
Well, yeah, this is Janelle. She's one of the best. So she... I do know the backstory.
She's one of the best teen moms out there.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't think it needs to be set up, does it?
Well, she it does make it funnier.
Okay.
So
it matters to Ben.
Okay.
So she's can't stop smoking weed. You don't know how hard it is.
Hard.
And she got caught, with some sort of weed violation. She's on probation. She couldn't stop smoking weed, so her choice is either stay on probation. Which she does not want to do because she hates being under control.
How do you get caught smoking weed? You have to
fail drug tests over and over. And
you have to actually be doing it in jail. That's the only way they're going to
catch you. Yeah,
or she can go to jail for like 20 days. So this is the conversation she's having with her lawyer.
Hey, Janelle.
The lawyer's wearing
crokies.
My lawyer
talked to my probation officer again. It sounds like they might be able to give me less jail time. I'm thinking about taking it so I can get off probation.
So, you given some thought about the options? Definitely wanting to do the jail
time?
Yeah,
I definitely want to do jail.
Okay. What they are asking for is the 8th through the 23rd. It would be a total of 16 days in jail.
Well, see, the only thing is, on the 9th, I got second row seats to go see a concert. It's Kesha tickets.
The problem is that that's not going to fly with your probation officer.
No, you don't understand. This is my idol. She's like my idol, and I'm never going to be able to see her.
When is the concert?
August 9th.
What kind of
like, did you call her and
my
tell
her? My idol.
My idol.
My idol. She's my idol. It's weird.
Where is this?
It's like, what's this? I don't remember Kentucky where she or is. Something?
Yeah, she's there. It's somewhere in the South. I mean, clearly, but I don't know exactly where.
Like, isn't there some way?
I'm not mentioning the concert.
I really can't miss that concert.
Don't let the Crocs fool you. I am a lawyer.
That's why I got all these feathers in my hair.
Let it play that she has a lot of reasons
why. Concert. I bought clothes for the concert. I set up hotel rooms for the concert.
All right. You will have to give your probation officer your final decision. So just think about it before you tell him. I mean, I understand that the concert's important to you. But you can have all of this behind you in just a couple of weeks. Be done with it.
Like no one understands how important this concert is to me. It's not just a concert. It's Kesha. Like, it's...
Just think about it.
Like, that should be the commercial. It's not just a concert.
It's Kesha. Look, I had all these babies because the Kesha is just in a song. It sort of got me into this whole mess. So if I could just, you know, bump my jail time back a couple of days...
Look, we're not talking
I'm
about...
Sure the judge will understand.
Yeah. We're just talking about a couple of days.
Yeah. I don't want to be in jail then, all right?
Just that one night.
Or can I get out that night? Yeah. How does that work?
Yeah.
She's like my idol. She sings these songs about she woke up in the closet drinking Jack, and I just... It really speaks to the way I live. That's why I put feathers in my hair.
I got these feathers in my hair for the concert. I got new clothes for the concert.
I always wondered who the fuck listened to that awful, awful music. Besides Ben, yeah.
Brendan quietly pointed at Ben.
He loudly pointed, to be fair. I liked that a lot. I got feathers in my hair for the concert.
For the concert.
She's my idol.
You don't understand. It's not just a concert.
It's the person. It's not, oh, I want to go to a random concert. It's Kesha, like... My idol, the girl that I watch videos on YouTube 30 times a day. I mean, like, I'm obsessed with this girl.
Just think about it.
You gotta love this lawyer who's just like, are you fucking serious?
Can you imagine having to deal with idiots like this all day?
Well, when you're a lawyer with croakies around your neck, you're a...
Oh, well. Good thing I have my sunglasses right here so I can put them on to mask my rage.
I did really like the gif, the Laker fan gif, that in reverse.
Lakers bros, yeah. Like,
but in reverse where he puts the sunglasses on.
Yes, deal with it.
Yeah, that I was a big, big fan of that. Brett sent out a fun... There's a lot of gifs going around. Is that a new thing on the internet?
What are these kids with their gifs?
So the thing about the gif is it's animated.
That do is you what, feel like gifs have hit a certain inflection point over the last, I'd say, 6 months?
You know what done it? It's been about a year and a half, 2 years. Is Tumblr? Tumblr's rocking the gifs back up in your bitch.
Yeah,
all up inside her popping right. Tacos.
So these gifs, they're on computers.
Yeah, I love it. Frankly, I think
it's great.
I think the gif captures the repetition that I like as something like a macro, right? But the time frame's so short that I'm going to watch that fucking bird steal that wallaby's food for the next hour.
Oh, yeah.
The crestfallen wallaby.
Oh, it's so sad. The camera just hangs out there watching that wallaby realize how gone his food truly is.
It's surprisingly hard to make the gif, like, continuous because you see someone...
Not if you're a fucking professional.
You mean without having like a jump in it?
Yeah, yeah.
No, you know what?
Because
you
see someone do some head move and you want them to keep doing it forever, but it's hard to get it just right. So it's
so
like,
it looks smooth. It's not a big jump.
You get some blending modes going. You do a little chopping and stitching.
Chopping and stitching.
I did like the...
I don't know how to do that.
One that Brett was a big fan of for a little while back of a fox jumping into the snow.
Oh, God. Yeah.
After the mounts. Yeah. That was great.
Yeah. Boop, and he just sticks out.
What was the so Brett sent us one today? There was an old man who pops out his dentures and then lights his beard on fire.
It looked like he was at a criminal hearing and he had just been convicted
of beard fire.
Yeah. I was looking at it on my phone, so it was taking a while to load up. And in the first frame, he actually looks sad, and I was like, well, is this going to be an episode of Intervention or something where he does something weird?
It's a gift you learn from.
And he goes,
pops out his front teeth and then lights his beard on fire.
Yeah. Oh, Grandpa, not again.
We just send that shit around at work in response to people. We'll say something dumb, and then in a side chat, we'll just post one of those. We'll put their quote and then the response in gift form.
I'm just curious what that was actually from?
What am I, a fucking historian?
Did you see the Tosh clip where that guy pulled his nutsack out and put it on the table and then shot through his nut? He pulled out a 9mm and shot through his nutsack skin with a 9mm.
I didn't see that, nor do I care to.
Do you do that knowing you're going to become a GIF? Right?
That's exactly why he shot.
When Sanchez ran into that dude's ass and fell over, I was like, oh, that's going to be all over the internet.
That's called a GIF blast.
Yeah. And you gotta stand up and just be like, fuck, that is going to be all over
the
internet.
It was like the perfect intersection of sports and internet. It was like the ready-made moment.
Yeah. Right, was that the best sports moment in history? It has to be up there, right?
It's up there. It's up there with like shot heard around the world and, you know, Namath over the Colts in Super Bowl III and...
just Sanchez to ass to fuck.
Yeah, yeah. Jesse Owens winning the gold in front of Hitler. Yeah. Not pales in comparison, frankly, to Mark Sanchez running into an ass.
Not only did he run into the ass, but then he fumbled, and that fumble was returned for a touchdown. Like, I mean, one thing if he just ran into the ass and then got tackled and was, you know, it was a sack. But he, like, the ball, like, exploded out of his hands.
And he did it in such a slapstick manner. Like, his legs went all the way out from under him. He fully depleted himself on that dude's ass.
Banana peeled into the guy's ass.
How much of an asshole do you have to feel like if you're Tebow watching that and that happens and you're still not in the game?
Yeah, you sort of, like, look expectantly at the coach and rotate your shoulder a couple times. Yeah. And then he's like, no, sit down.
He shouldn't have given his rib to Eve.
It's like, well, his shoe fell off. And then he actually picked up the shoe thinking it was the ball, and then he threw his shoe downfield.
And then he fumbled the shoe.
Yeah, and no, somebody intercepted the shoe, and then he slipped on a banana peel trying to tackle him. Yeah.
Although it would be funny if his shoe fell off, and then he dove on it like a fumble. Just covered up his shoe. Yeah.
Tebow's just kneeling. Dear God, I hate it here.
I hate
New York. Is a terrible place.
New York City's everything.
This is a blighted Gomorrah.
It's all the hell.
The center steps on his foot and his shoe comes off and he whiffs the ball and it hits him in the crotch somehow.
Yeah. And then there's this honker.
Yeah. That'd be another good one.
He falls on a bicycle horn somehow.
Yeah. I'm picturing sort of the opening scene from The Naked Gun where
OJ Simpson here.
Like, goes into the stove and burns his hand and then puts his face in the birthday cake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a Simpsons version of that where he like flies. He flies through the pillow factory, like the feathers, and then he like lands in like the thumbtack, something or other.
I can't remember. I know what you're talking about.
There's another great Simpsons bit where he's like, he's going to pound a nail in, and he's going real slow, and they're like focusing on his thumb, and he's going real slow, and then he like rears back, and he gets the claw, the hammer stuck in his eye. That was like my favorite Simpsons bit.
It's pretty hard to do slapstick in a cartoon the way they did it.
Yeah.
And make it funny still.
Yeah.
They're great at the visual gag. I was going to perfectly segue into poor Alex Smith.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
You could make a repeatable gif of that, which would just shatter your heart into a million pieces.
Oh, I know, right?
I'd like to see that.
With his chewing on his mouthpiece, with his helmet on.
Yeah, he's all ready to go.
Just all ready to go.
Can we play catch today, Paul?
Yeah, it's like when your dog's like, not today. You're all hungover and your dog's got his leash in his mouth. And you're like, no.
Guy takes nothing but shit for like 6 years.
And brutal shit. The crowd would turn on him at the first, not even bad play, but like a scramble and a throw to the sideline to prevent a sack. And the crowd would just be like, fuck you, I wish you were dead.
Troy Smith would start warming up and everyone would cheer. Yeah. That's when you know as a fan base, we're talking about this, where as a fan base, you can talk yourself into some really awful quarterbacks. And, you know, at one point, I remember having this conversation with Vince. We're like, Troy Smith, he's the guy.
Dude, he looked good for like two games.
Yeah.
He looked great.
And then last year, it was awesome. It was just, not only was it cool to be winning again and have a good team, but it actually felt really good to have Alex because, you know, you've just gotten shit on for the last 6 years.
Yeah.
It felt really good to have him be successful.
The worst is when they were talking about when they interviewed him, he was downplaying. He's like, you know, just it's going to be who it is. Obviously not thinking it wasn't going to be him. He's just like, I don't feel like I did anything to lose my job. And I'm just like, oh, my broken heart. Yeah. You did it. You were doing great. And they hit you in the head.
Well,
so sad.
We'll always have the playoff victory over the Saints. That was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Thanks, Alex. Take care, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, see you in Miami next year. Why would he come back? After we've dicked him around
he's going to the Chiefs
for Manning.
I want to like Kaepernick because he's a Central Valley boy, but he's weird looking and he's got a big cross on his arm.
Those are at least those are good reasons to not like someone.
Well,
hey, everyone needs reasons, right?
He plays, like being from the Central Valley is a good reason to like someone.
He plays football like a weird-looking Christian.
Well.
Am I wrong?
Weird-looking Christian from the Central Valley?
When you don't know a guy, I mean, you can only pick from so many reasons to like or dislike the guy.
I want to like him, but he's got this like cross tattoo.
I do like the way he plays. He's played good so far.
He's played squirrely football.
Again, Troy Smith played good football for two games.
Yeah,
also.
He's untested, and you've essentially just told Alex Smith to go fuck himself for... what has been, what, like a 50-50 performance? The first game looked like garbage, and this one's looked pretty good-ish.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the Rams next week, so.
Later, Alex. Have fun, buddy. It's been a good run. All right. We got Burnsy down? Who's Laramie?
Burnsy.
It's been so long. How long has it? It's been, like, what, five or 6 years?
Yeah, he's got a new webcam.
A beard now? Is that a, you know, times pass, like on a sitcom? Yeah. Where's next year?
He's got long hair, long eyebrows.
Oh!
I changed my mind. I can't do this. Hello?
Is Ashley Burns available?
Can you hear us now?
Hi.
We missed you. You didn't miss us.
You didn't miss me.
When we were broken up, it was cool to just sort of sleep around, right?
Did you get all those sexts I sent you?
I got the one.
Yeah?
Yeah, the lighting was weird.
That wasn't my penis, it was my thumb.
My sex.
You got me.
Vince has been jerking off.
Sticking through the fly.
Vince has been jerking off to that pic for months. My sexts are just headless rabbits with a post-it note that says fuck on it.
Those are the best.
Bernie, you know you have a super fan that was out in Chicago. Did Vince tell you that?
I heard, and you know, I'm kind of upset that I didn't actually go now.
Yeah, and now there's a commenter named BernseyFan66 that just yells stuff like, bring back Bernsey!
Oh, really? Yeah. That's awesome. That's kind of what the live broadcast was like.
Yeah.
BernseyFan66, here's your wish come true. Make a wish.
I know. This is like winning the Oscars, except... I don't have to wear a shirt.
Yeah, it's the way I feel every day.
How you been? How's the pageant world?
It's better than ever, let me tell you.
So tonight, do you have hot goss for us, or do you have Bridges Corner, or a little bit of both?
I have a brand new music single for you guys.
That's exciting.
I have the future of the music industry. This girl is going to be... You can't see my hand right now, but I'm holding my hand like above my head because she's going to be at the top of the mountain.
She's going to be tall. She's going to be really tall.
She's going to be 7'3" by the time her growth spurt ends. And she is the future
with a brow ridge like a cinder block. Let me tell you, this girl.
She has acromegaly written all over her.
She sure does. Picture
Kellen Lutz with long hair, and that's what she's going to look like.
Okay. All right, well, we got a video or an audio if you happen to be listening to this.
If you happen to be in our room.
If you're not watching this in the room with us right now, it's probably just going to be audio. But,
oh, wait, I'm watching it in the room with you right now.
Yeah, I mean, for us, it's going to be great.
Oh, awesome.
It's going to be pretty terrible. But just bear with us while we have fun.
You know, maybe go.
Wait, hold on. Vince has to look something up on Wikipedia.
You know what?
Maybe go cook us some cheese sauce while you're waiting.
Oh, God. Put that.
Whoa.
What you got? Uh-huh. I got pink. I'm pink.
Oh, should I say the name of the song? Sorry, this, the name of the song is Brittany Smooch.
Oh.
Not Brittany, Brittany.
B-R-I-T-N-E-E.
B-R-I-T-T-A-N-Y, like the coast.
Brittany.
Brittany.
I think it's Brittany.
Like, old Britain.
Brittany Smooch.
Brittany Smooch.
And the song's called Pink on Pink.
Ooh, pink.
What you got? I got a condo in L.A. Take trips to San Jose. I got money coming out the A. Like a hater in their face. Got pink all in my room. I got pink all on my shoes. I got pink all on my boots. I'm flying.
Well, I like it because it's not repetitive.
No.
So far. My pink homegirl's gonna make it rain on y'all.
Did she mention a pink taco?
Burnsy?
I think she's talking about peeing on people.
This song's only a minute 36 long.
By the way, it's really worth pointing out that she talks about her pink room. Her room is purple.
Is it?
Prince is colorblind.
Aww.
This song means nothing to him.
I got gray on gray on gray on gray.
I got gray on blue on sort of green.
I don't know why she brags about her stupid gray room all the time.
Just like a mishmash of greens and blues.
People say no, I'm just doing my own thing. I ain't worried about these dogs with no money on their car. I tell boyfriend quit staring at me. So I get something special to see.
She's like 14, right?
I'm such a superstar. Yeah, I got pink, I'm pink, I'm pink.
Yeah, how old is this chick, Burnsy?
I don't know. I don't want to know. That'll ruin everything.
Probably 14.
Yeah, she does not look old.
I think she's going to be Rebecca Black's, like, villain soon.
Can we watch the rest? There's only, like, 13 seconds left.
I just clicked
away.
Yeah,
for some reason, it's only a minute and 50 seconds, and that's a shame because I wanted to see the whole thing.
Brent, did you watch the and enjoy it?
You do.
Sorry.
We'll get the next one. I assume you get the Thanksgiving one.
Oh, the Thanksgiving one's priceless.
Yeah, it really is.
I love Patrice Wilson. I think he's a genius.
He is one of the smartest men alive, right? He's right up there with the dude that just ripped off Angus T. Jones.
How come you didn't do that, Burnsy?
I don't know why I didn't do that. Because, I mean, you'd think that being around all those pageant girls and all their parents with all their money, I would have been able to convince them to believe in whatever god I make up on the spot.
Right?
And the fact that I haven't, it upsets me.
What were you thinking?
So what do we got now? A new one?
Oh, it's just a little Thanksgiving.
Oh, Thanksgiving.
To commemorate.
I don't think we ever played it.
Really? Oh, it's so fantastic, though. I like how much more wholesome this one is. The other chick's just talking about, like, dirty stuff. She's all...
I'm big.
Yeah. She's, like, bragging about money. This girl, she just wants to eat some mashed potatoes. The bedroom scene is a little porny, I'm not gonna lie. A little odd. But she's grateful. She's thankful. That's what the song's about. Now she's talking about the season.
January was New Year's.
She's making stuffing right now.
I'm really excited for a Christmas song.
Wait, you didn't get to the part where he raps, though.
Oh, no, let's get to that part.
Okay, we do have to get to that part.
Is it the same guy that raps?
Dude,
yeah, he's in...
He's the producer. The best part in this one?
Can you rhyme in this song at all? I've avoided this.
He shows up in a turkey outfit. There's all these middle school kids having Thanksgiving in the middle of the day, and this black dude in a turkey outfit shows up at their house. Look, there he is. Oh, wait, he's not in the turkey outfit yet. He's got the crucifix necklace and a scarf. Well, basically, long story short.
He's knocking on the door right now.
Okay, here he is.
It's a bunch of middle schoolers.
I like how this one kid brings something and she's like, what is this? Get out of here. Because he's a nerd. Someone brought ribs.
Hey!
Oh,
turkey.
He's dressed like a turkey and he's dancing. All right, so basically,
the black girl looked at her like record scratch.
Basically, there's all these little middle school white kids are having a Thanksgiving in the middle of the day.
To be fair, it's a party. That's and a then Thanksgiving party.
A black like, dude, a black dude in a turkey outfit shows up and eats all their ribs. Is what happens in this video.
Can I want to hear him rap.
That's exactly like the first Thanksgiving.
I guess he just does more backing vocals on this.
He does the chorus. Why won't they rhyme? It's not that hard.
Wait, he's eating all the ribs. He's like, yeah, you got me. I ate all the ribs.
He isn't really rapping this one, I guess.
At no point has anything rhymed at all.
She does sing into a turkey drumstick, though. Which is,
that is crucial.
I think they missed an incredible opportunity to film that video in a homeless shelter.
You could say that for anything, though.
I just think more music videos with teenage white girls need to be filmed in homeless shelters.
Just dancing it up.
Just to give them perspective, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, they won't learn anything, but it'll look super sad. Bro, did you see the meteoric rise coming of Honey Boo Boo? Ugh.
Of course. We called that years ago.
I like how, about 6 months after she came out, there was all these stories like, oh, the cracks are showing. Like, we think this might not be good for her.
What, as she's like eating Sketti and pounding Red Bull and Mountain Dew?
Yeah. She was famous because her mom was making her drink Red Bull at a beauty pageant.
No, combo. Red Bull, Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
I like how her mom is our age and she looks at least 15 years old.
Is she really?
Yeah. Yes.
She looks
her mom's like 32.
Oh, my. Yeah. I tried to watch that show, and her mom was the most disgusting creature.
A revolting.
That's not a human, Brendan. That is a creature.
They try to make the dad seem relatable, and I'm like, how are you? You're married to Jabba the Hutt. How does that happen?
It's less Jabba the Hutt, more Pizza the Hutt.
Yeah.
Spaceballs.
Have you guys seen the picture where from the pageant where Honey Boo Boo Child standing in front of the mom, and then someone photoshopped it right next to Krang body that he's in?
Yeah. Yeah, it looks exactly like her.
Because it's the most perfect picture that's ever been made.
It really is.
Yeah, I really tried to watch it because the kid's sort of cute. It's like the kid's sort of funny, and then the mom is disgusting.
Yeah, if they put
it up on your phone.
No, guys, just God damn it! Now my Google search history is going to have Krang Honey Boo Boo in it.
But now that you bring her up, there was a story about her last week, and apparently, people send her gifts. Like kids across America send her gifts, like money, toys, like all this random crap, just because they worship this girl. And so I saw this thing, and it was like, okay, you make fun of her, you make fun of her family, whatever, but did you know that she takes that money and she takes those toys and she donates them all to charity? And like this year before Thanksgiving, she donated like $1,700 to charity, and it was like, don't you feel stupid for making fun of her now? And I said, no.
Oh, yeah, of course not.
She could donate, $17,000 worth of stuff, and I'd still be like, look at this little American travesty.
it's more just like when people put it's the same as Lights, Camera, Jackson. Like, I don't have anything against Lights, Camera, Jackson. It's more just like people that think it's a great idea to put some weird little kid on TV where you're like,
so the Google image results are it's a solid block of the same picture, and then there's one where they fully superimpose the two just to prove that they match up near perfectly.
Brendan's really excited.
I am really excited. Oh, my God.
Bernsey, could you explain the concept of the con bro chill?
Oh, my God. That was it was funny because you posted that video of Peter Dante and the adrenaline lacrosse guys.
Uh-huh.
Given their speeches to they were such bros. But they were given the anti-bro speech.
It was the existential buffoon, to be fair.
Yeah. To all those lacrosse kids who are already bros in their own right. They're like junior bros. And I think it was Drew McGarry retweeted somebody, and it was the cover of Lacrosse Magazine from this month, and it's Conbro Chill. And I look at it, and it's this dude in a neon tuxedo with a keytar doing an air keytar pose, and it says that he's the three-time Laxy, that's their award, personality of the year.
Why didn't they call it a laxative?
So I'm like, what the fuck is a Conbro chill? So I Google it, and here are these YouTube videos that have over a million hits on them. And they're 3 years old. And I'm thinking, you know, here's a YouTube video that's got over a million hits, and I haven't seen it before, so what the hell is this? And I started watching it, and like, have you ever seen comedy where you can't tell if they're being intentional with their comedy or if it's a parody? And that's what he is. You can't tell if he's being serious or if he's a parody. But now that LMFAO broke up, like, this group, Conbro Chill, is going to take over. They're party rock.
Should I play Come to My Party or Partied Out?
Conbro Chill was one guy.
That's the thing. That was his nickname in college, and they adopted it as their band name.
Because I was extremely confused about whatever language you guys were just speaking.
There's this guy who's like some sort of professional lacrosse player.
His name is Connor Martin. He plays for the Denver professional lacrosse team.
All their mascots are rapists.
I had no idea that there was such a thing as a professional lacrosse, but
play Come to My Party, because it breaks into that Irish thing that just about blew my mind. It about shot my brain out
so
of my
he pulls
ass.
Up and is like, aren't your parents out of town? And I was all, party, mi casa, esta noche.
Yeah, we party at our parties, and there's girls at our parties, and girls at the parties, so come to my party.
He's going down a slip and slide in rollerblades, for those of you who can't see the video. One of his rhymes just involved VJ Singh, the golfer.
It did, yeah. Keep going.
Oh, man.
All right, I'm in.
That's 1,000 times more likable than Peter Dante's stupid video.
I would say that was intentionally funny. Anytime you're slapping rollerblades on.
Yeah.
Dude, is the accent. Potato.
And the thing is, I watched an actual interview he did with some radio station or whatever, and it doesn't stop. That's his real personality, is the complete bro. So he is the bro god.
But I like the fact that, I mean, it's so much more likable when they just embrace it, when they're like, no, bro. We gotta stand for
We're
something.
We're just chilled out, that's all.
We gotta be chill to each other, bros.
But he's more of a laid back sort of surfer bro instead of like the pop collar lacrosse bro.
True.
That's an important distinction.
He's more of a rollerblading down a slip and slide bro, which I can respect.
Yeah, that's the kind of bro that I could hang with.
Party bro's at it again.
He's out for the party, he's out for the pussy. And he ain't about to fight you over it.
He's also
like
out
that.
For the party
pussy. I can
pussy.
Respect that.
He's out for the party pussy too.
Yeah. Well, shit, I found this one like tribute site to him and the band, and it's like all these girls wearing his t-shirts, and I was like, okay, this guy obviously has done well.
He's popped some tacos.
He has.
Yuck.
Bernsey, how is your list of the worst movies of the year coming?
It's just straight out of hell right now.
Wait, so you invite him out for drinks and you ask him about work stuff? You were the fucking shittiest boss. I hate that.
He brings it on himself. He took this assignment up as his mantle.
Does he come to you in your smoky editor's room with your cigar and you're just all world weary? And
I just nod.
You turn around in your chair. Yeah, you clink your ice cubes in your empty rye tumbler.
Three clinks means yes.
I can only take the ball out of my mouth when he tells me.
So what have you, like, what have you sat through deliberately in the hopes that it would be a candidate for your top 10 worst of the year?
Whether it made it or not.
The one movie that I went, that I waited months for, sat through, like walked up to the theater excited, expecting it to be the worst piece of shit I've ever seen, and afterwards was not let down, was Battleship.
Okay.
That was a flaming wreckage of turd, and it only helped that Rihanna was so amazingly terrible in it. With her little, oh, hell no, one-liners, which, I mean, it was a perfect storm of just horror.
But did her daddy not tell her that one day the aliens would come?
Wait, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Come on.
I always like whenever there's a character, no matter who they're fighting, and they just do a, oh, hell no, and then they go fuck that, whatever that thing is up. Yeah.
That's kind of like... Apologies if I made this joke the first time we talked about Battleship, but there's that great scene in Red Dawn where they've rounded up the dad, who's played by Harry Dean Stanton, and they go see him, and he's in the re-education camp, and all the kids are, like, crying, like, dad, you know, and he's like, now you kids know how I was so hard on you. Because like, you thought the Russians were going to take down NORAD and then stage an airborne invasion of the Colorado Rockies. I'm not really following.
Didn't I tell you?
Dead with a,
avenge me!
I beat your mom every day for 16 years so you would learn how to shoot a gun.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, did you see Red Dawn, Bernsey?
Amazing. It was so remarkable. It was everything I expected and more.
So you actually did see it?
Yeah.
I thought you were boycotting it.
Well, I was saying, boy, I didn't want other people to see it. I had to see it.
So did you buy a ticket to something else and sneak in just to...
No, I want them to have my $12 so they know they have my $12. And that $12 was spent with pure hate.
$8?
Yeah, most of the time it's $8.50 because I went to a matinee, but sometimes I have to spend $12 for the evening.
Well, so no, I meant, I said so $8.
The original Red Dawn is a classic. It's just so
the
good.
Original,
is it really, though?
I love
yes, it.
Yes,
it is. And not. I get so mad when people on Twitter are like, oh, how can you be upset? There was such a bad movie. And it
is
of course
that what Twitter
was a bad
sounds
movie.
Like?
I hate when Twitter has accents like that.
So that's exactly what people on Twitter sound like when they speak in person.
It's like a time capsule. It's not a good movie.
I could, but if that's on cable, I'm watching it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, fair enough. Well, like, here's the deal. Like, I see Van Wilder is, like, a perfect time capsule of, like, 2001 or something like that. It's a terrible movie, but I'll watch it because it's hilarious because it's, like, it's so fucking 2001 that it hurts.
Yeah, that's why I love Red Dawn. There's the whole scene, they can have my gun when they pry it from my cold, dead fingers. Gosh. And the Cuban guy literally pries the gun from the other guy's cold, dead fingers. Yeah.
Okay, all right, I'll go with that.
I love that movie. I'm watching
it. Is that going to be on your top 10 worst, you think?
It's going to get special mention.
All right.
I don't like including remakes because it's not fair.
That's true.
So can you tell us a little bit about how and why it was so horrendous?
Well, it's just you take the first one was horrible, but the first, like you said, the first one was endearing because, you know, I loved the first one because I was a little kid when I saw it, and that scene where they pop out of the ground and – you know, kill the guy with the AK-47. It's like, I don't want to see Tom Cruise's sissy boy DJ son doing that.
Was he in that?
What? Yeah, Connor Cruise.
Oh, man.
He was in that. And then the kid from...
he DJ'd in it?
Wait, is he the implanted alien one?
Games?
The Katie Holmes baby? Isn't he like 4?
No. He's older. He's 18 or 19. He's a professional. Connor Cruise. He's,
they age them. Do they use drugs to age them? The alien babies.
Tom Cruise can spawn children whenever he wishes.
Oh, so it's not. He doesn't even need an Earth wife.
No, at any age he wishes as well.
Yeah, he just like sprinkles something on a little baby pod.
He's like a fungus. He's got spores.
Yeah. But this kid's a professional DJ, so you know he's cool.
Yeah. Not to hijack the discussion, but speaking of obnoxious kids,
you have one.
I did.
He is one.
I did. Yes, that is also true. I did want to read the Jada Pinkett Smith takes to Facebook to defend her parenting style.
Oh, I hate her wiener kids.
the mother of the Whip My Hair singer penned an open letter to fans.
It's not a letter.
Mother of the
Facebook.
Whip My Hair singer.
Explaining why she let her 12-year-old daughter take
whip
control
her
of her appearance, blasting critics who say Willow is too young to make style choices on her own.
That hair's going too fast. Slow
the question
down.
Why I would let Willow cut her hair, first the let must be challenged, Pinkett Smith wrote on Facebook. This is a world where women, girls, are constantly reminded that they don't belong to themselves, that their bodies are not their own, nor their power or self-determination. I made a promise to endow my little girl with the power to always know that her body, spirit, and her mind are her domain. Pinkett Smith said she was comfortable with Willow shaving off her coif because her daughter knows her worth is not measured by the length of her hair. It is a statement. It is also a statement that claims that even little girls have the right to own themselves and should not be a slave to even their mother's deepest insecurities, hopes, and desires, Pinkett Smith added.
There's nothing I would care to hear less than like a parenting argument.
Also, who is this fucking straw man that she's arguing with that says that, like, said that her...
Like, how dare she cut her hair?
And yeah.
They're not really parents so much as corporate benefactors. So,
exactly.
Hey, like, look, honey, you could shave it off, but all that hair on the floor belongs to Smithco still.
It's like, you know who's not...
You didn't update your Facebook status.
Yeah.
You don't see, like, Michelle Obama having to, like, fight back to the haters,
listen,
with her
haters.
With her daughter's haircuts. It's because, you know why? Because she's not shoving her stupid daughters down everybody's throat every fucking second.
I would like that letter
day.
From Jada if it did open up with, listen, haters, comma.
And then ended with bye haters.
Later haters.
Yeah.
Oh, there'll be a single. Don't you worry.
Later haters?
Yeah. Or hey. Yeah. Oh, there will be later haters.
Just anytime you involve someone's kids, it's just like, you know that, or I'm sorry, anytime someone involves their children in any kind of argument, you're like, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, like they try to act like that society somehow involved their kid in the conversation. And it's like, no. You brought your kid into the conversation.
I wheeled my stroller into the lion cage, but then all these lions ate my daughter.
Yeah. Well, one of my favorite...
And I only made like $13 million off.
One of my favorite things to be a grumpy old man about is, how am I supposed to tell my kids? Which is just, that's such a good... It's analogous to, I'm not racist, but...
Yeah.
Because you know, it's just, you're trying to bend the logic towards sympathizing with young children, because whatever you're about to say is astoundingly, staggeringly retarded.
How do I live in a world where my kids are going to be...
How am I supposed to tell my kids that women can vote?
Everyone is... It's basically saying everyone will be easily able to understand this except for a small child.
Right. And we should
cater. I know you can understand.
We should cater to them politically.
Yeah.
Because you have a brain and you went to school, but...
I'm threatened by you.
Yeah.
Bernsey, do you have anything else in your corner? Is it empty?
No, I do have the only piece of hot goss that I'm bringing into tonight's conversation.
Okay, okay.
You're not going to play the theme song?
Oh, I don't even know if we have that somewhere, don't we?
Well,
we got to have it.
The theme
Hold
song
on.
Would imply that this is happy news, and it's not happy news.
I still want to hear the theme song. I like your theme song.
I love the theme song. I actually listen to it every morning when I wake up.
When you make those little Cuban kids get back to work?
Oh, God. They have made the worst soccer balls lately.
All right. I got it.
How are their Bart Simpson statues doing?
I haven't heard that in a while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah.
All right, well, you got your theme song. Cue it up.
Sorry, I'm a little misty over that. Mm. God, it's just so beautiful. Well, the bad news is that I am in the market for a new celebrity best friend.
Okay.
Because my former celebrity best friend broke my heart this past weekend. I was in New Orleans, which is the home of Channing Tatum's restaurant, Saints and Sinners.
That's totally what he would name his restaurant.
And I walked by the restaurant when I got there. It's on Bourbon Street. It's in a questionable location. I wouldn't have put it there if I was C. Tate's, but he is, you know, the sexiest man alive, so he obviously knows what he's doing. But when I went back there to go to dinner and obviously to meet him and hang out with him and Jason Statham, because I knew they were both going to be there at the same time, it was closed for the weekend.
How do you close on a weekend when people are traveling there to see your restaurant?
Well, this is where controversy comes into play, because it was open. It was open on Thanksgiving. It was open on Thursday. I got there on Friday, and it was closed down Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, because they were doing electrical repairs. I just did air quotes. That's how angry I am right now. And this weekend in New Orleans was also the Bayou Classic, which is when Grambling and Southern play football.
Okay.
It's also known as the Battle of the Bands.
Yeah.
Exactly. Those are two, you know, all black schools. So they have the bands and they have the big parties on Bourbon Street. And local people told me that they believe that Channing Tatum's restaurant was closed because they didn't want that clientele.
Ooh. Damn
and
it.
And I said, at first I said no. I said,
you don't
no,
want to believe
not
it.
That's C. Tate's.
No.
That's C. Tate's. Would take the doors off because he would have dance battles and it would just be the craziest thing you've ever seen.
That would be like the best thing that ever. I mean,
dance battles at Saints and Sinners.
If C. Tate's hasn't been in a movie about the Battle of the Bands, it would be sort of shocking.
I mean, if his restaurant was in trouble, he would have a dance off to save it. That's
the
kind of person he is. But here we go. You know, I walk by, I empty stomach, ready to eat, maybe drink some Hennessy, and this place is boarded up. And I posted the picture of me standing in front of the boards. It was boarded up. There was no way into the place. And they did not, Channing Tatum did not bother calling me and personally telling me that it wasn't going to be open.
Do you like them on, I'm sure you like Saints and Sinners on Facebook and you follow it on Twitter and you're on the.
I like Channing Tatum on Facebook because we're best friends. So obviously I wanted to keep track of what people are writing on his wall.
You better unlike him because you're ex-best friends.
It seems
rude. What if we did a panel style, American Idol style audition where we were the panel to audition for Ashley's next celebrity best friend?
Ooh, I could see that.
That would be helpful because honestly, I'm so hurt right now that I don't know where to go.
Yeah, first Ryan Gosling disses you.
Seriously,
and then
I mean,
and now
these are supposed to be my best friends, and they're just shitting on me like this.
It's not fair.
It's unbelievable.
One time, I was walking down the street with Vince in San Francisco, and I thought that it was Ryan Gosling sitting at this outdoor cafe, and I stopped and I elbowed Vince, and I was like, "Baby Goose." And then the guy looked up at us, and we all kind of shared this look, and it wasn't him, and it was very awkward.
Vince made out with him to make it to ease the tension.
Yeah. I had to.
All right, Brendan, I got this one, man.
Yeah. I was like, Brendan, hold on. I'm going to flirt with this guy.
Put that chicken back in the hen house.
Better him than me.
All right, Burns, anything else to report about your New Orleans weekend?
No.
I'm so disappointed.
No.
We're going to have
Well, I mean, once I realized that the restaurant was closed, and they actually, the restaurant tweeted at me to apologize.
Really?
Yeah, which was, you know, big whoop.
What kind of food do they serve? Is it like a lot of
thing is, I never, like, once they actually posted the menu online, I never actually looked, because the only thing I wanted was to walk in, sit down at the table, have the waitress come over so I could say, "Hey, do you have potato skins?" That is all I wanted.
That was the whole basis of the trip.
That was why it wasn't to take my girlfriend to the Saints 49ers game. I don't even remember who won the game.
Probably Alex Smith.
Tatum skins.
Yeah, Alex Smith sure didn't win.
Oh, Alex Smith was in that game. He was the living, breathing forever alone at the end of the sideline by himself the entire time.
I hope they put that on the Jumbotron so everyone could enjoy that.
Vince came over to watch football, and his girlfriend came over as well, and then my girlfriend came back from shopping. We were all sitting and watching the game, and then they kept cutting to him, helmet on, chin strap unbuckled, chewing on his mouthpiece, elbow in the crook of his arm, 1,000-yard stare, and in unison we all went, "Oh."
Yeah.
It was so sad.
Yeah. It's like a puppy carrying his leash around the apartment.
Yeah.
That's all right. Next year, he'll be right back at it with the Arizona Cardinals.
Indeed.
So true.
Burnsy, keep it real.
Welcome
I'm
back.
I'm going to miss you guys. Let's not wait 5 months again.
Let's be fair. It was all your fault.
It was all my fault, but I was also kind of avoiding you guys.
Okay.
You were hanging out with C-Tape.
We're used to
and
it.
Now
I have to take you guys back because I have that void to fill.
Yeah. Indeed.
Burnsy, keep it real, buddy.
Hey, you guys keep it real. Fist bumps.
All around.
Pop, pop, pop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lax Bro Chill.
Yeah, Lax Bro Chill.
Is that what it is?
No.
Chill Bro.
Chill
Bro Carl. You just say it like that, like a Skype timeout. You just say it like that, like a internet, like a voice over IP. Got you.
I do realize it's called the vocal fry, and all the hot young tweens are doing it.
I think you've inadvertently brought up a great point. Could Conbro Chill be such a chill bro if his name was something like Carl? Like, how much of your name is
Whoa, prophecy. It's not just his name anymore. It's his entire unfortunate band's name. The one has become many.
Yeah. He couldn't be Carl Bro Chill. I don't think, at least.
What about Chad?
He could be Stu Bro Chill.
Stu's pretty Chad chill. Chad and Stu. Those are both chilled out names.
Chad Bro Chill?
Chad Bro Chill. All right, we got Laramie. Can't keep him waiting. I mean, the guy's got so many lists.
And he's got so many podcasts. If we wait too long, he's going to join another one.
Or just start one. Just spontaneously start podcasts.
He's going to start like three more.
Well, fortunately for us, he does most of them before 6 a.m. He's like a podcast vampire.
I like that he's always there.
Hello?
Hey. Hey.
Vince?
Yeah, it's me.
What are you doing there?
Oh, dude, buddy, I'm just chilling. What are you doing?
I was gonna sing a Christopher Cross song to you guys.
Aw.
You ready?
Okay.
Frotting takes me away to a place. I don't know the rest of the words. I was actually looking up the words as you called, which kind of ruined the bit. What are you gonna do? How's it going, guys?
What's up, buddy?
Who else is there?
We got everybody.
Oh, it's everybody.
Is Goss here?
Nah, he's gone. He's gone.
We
man.
Can't. We don't do dual Skype. I think
we don't. Yeah, that's not.
That no. would break Skype.
Yeah,
that's fair.
All right. So before we get to your list, we got a listener question.
Ooh.
For the panel.
Proceed.
All right. It's waiting for you. Okay. Yeah.
Ben, should I go?
Yeah. Can I go now?
Dear Frauders, I am in the middle of listening to episode 127 and loving it.
That was a good one.
As someone with a college degree who just turned 26 yesterday and lives in New York City, Park Slope and Brooklyn specifically, I know and can feel the oncoming dread of having nothing but shit jobs for a while. What advice would you give us film drunk enthusiasts who are feeling themselves floundering and cannot see the light at the end of the tunnel? Is there even such a light?
There's no light. Kill yourself.
Here's what I would say. I mean, everyone can find something they like, and I think a lot of people, you'd be surprised you can find something you like even in a more corporate setting. Not every job is like the soulless corporate drone job.
And if it is, you can always jerk off in the bathroom and have that one precious little moment.
Yep.
What you want is a job where you can take advantage of people. So take a lower salary to lord power over people at the beginning. Would be my advice.
Okay. Petty tyrant angle. I like that.
That'll provide you some satisfaction while you move up the corporate ladder.
You could drink more.
Yeah, that's the good thing is that pretty much everybody is floundering at that age. Yeah. And the people that aren't are going to flounder like in about 3-4 years. And there's people
they think life's too easy.
There's people that are really good at pretending they're not floundering. So just fucking own that floundering and then enjoy the fact that you can sort of still drink and screw like relatively consequence free.
Yeah. I mean, as long as you got enough money to pay rent and your bar tabs and like what else do you need?
Yeah.
Yeah. People get really
I mean, it's
anxious.
Really hard to make enough money to pay rent and bar tabs at that age a lot of the time. But yeah.
Yeah, you might have to do – I did a lot of eggs, broccoli, and rice because they're all fairly cheap staples and cover your vitamins and protein pretty well.
Yeah, lots of that.
Yeah. I mean, people get existential about it. Where, oh, my God, I've never even meant anything. That's a stupid way to think for stupid people.
Hey, hey, in newsflash, no one amounts to anything.
Yeah,
you're so just enjoy yeah. it.
You're gonna be dead in a maybe 50 years and then forgotten in like probably
a,
70.
In a blink of an eye.
Yeah.
So enjoy your movies and TV and sports and friends.
Yeah.
Enjoy your friends. The best thing about being 26 as opposed to being 30 is that your friends will still hang out with you all the time.
It's true.
And people are still down to go out, you know.
You
like,
give yourself 5 years. Most of your friends have kids.
Yeah.
Almost all of them are married.
Yeah,
and no
all
one
they
has,
want to talk about is their kids.
And
it hits like 10:30. You're like, well, time to turn in. I'm getting kind of sleepy.
Yeah, even
like,
yeah.
You won't have to make an excuse up a couple hours a week where people have to hang out with you.
Yeah, like if
the podcast. Other great thing is you can hit on anything that moves at that age.
Yeah,
right. Like you're at the captaincy of your. You're hitting upon
all legal things are game for you because you're not old enough where they're like, oh, 30? That's old. And you're still young enough to be sort of cougar bait. So,
yeah, you're in the apex.
The world's your fuck oyster.
The world's your taco
them,
to pop.
God damn it.
And I feel like you can be involved in really complicated relationships that age, too. Like you're dating someone, but you're also, you know, hooking up with this, and then they don't know about X, and then. You're getting into bisexuality, right? And then you're doing like beasts, just beasts all the time.
You're fucking beasts.
Then you wake up one day at the zoo, you're fucking a monkey.
Then you've got an Elmo thing going. You're doing the whole thing, the whole gambit.
Creatively professionally, serious, semi-serious answer. Don't do something dumb that you think is going to lead to stability. Like, don't be like, oh man, I'm so unstable. I need to go to law school, or I need to go to don't do something stupid like that.
Don't
well, just don't go to law school.
Yeah,
just don't go to law school. Don't go to law school.
I read a report we're running out of lawyers.
Yeah, it's ocean acidification and the lawyer drought.
Yeah,
two of the worst consequences of climate change.
If I can be semi-serious, the job in the mailroom that allows you to play with your band twice a week is just as soul-crushing as the one that's a slightly higher salary and actually allows you to do more than eat canned tuna all the time. So, like, don't you know, think that you're so high up there that you got to, like, scrap it and you're, like, not good enough to go out and, I don't know, do okay for yourself.
Yeah, I would say find one that that pays you decently and enjoy the rest of your life until you find out what you really want to do.
I also think it's a fucking myth that no matter what, your job's just going to be great and you're, like, so excited all the time. Like, every job is going to have its fucking headaches because you got to work with other people and rely on other people. And that sucks.
Well, no matter what, like, you could fucking pet puppies for a living. Like,
there's, just hate that fucking puppy.
There's
so going
to be, there's still going to come a time when you wake up and you still have to hit your alarm. You're like, oh man, I really got to fucking pet puppies today. Yeah.
I feel like the people who expect, they're like, I'm going to find my calling and it's going to be wonderful. Like, those are the people who are like, end up being so disappointed. Where if you go in a little more realistic, like, hey, I'm not going to wake up every single morning, like, bounding out of bed to go do this. But, like, if I don't hate it and I'm okay with going to work every day, then, like, I don't know, to me, that's a win.
I was telling Brett this the other day. If my alarm clock was – even now, and I have a job that I, you know, for the most part, I love. I made – you know, I sort of made it myself, and it's great. But I was telling Brett this the other day. Like, if my alarm clock snooze button was attached – if there was some person in another part of the world, if there was some family that every time I hit the snooze button, it would kill, like, an orphan family.
What if it was one of the Duggars?
Well, that's not even a question. But like,
you'd snooze on purpose.
Yeah, like, no.
He would hit it 27 times in one morning, yeah,
just to make sure.
If my snooze button killed a family somewhere, I would probably still hit it two or three times because the urge to go back to sleep is that strong.
Here's
in the
thing: I could look them in the eye. They could ship the person into my bedside, right? And they could have about a 30-second, because that's when I'm still kind of sleepy and I'll be okay. They could have a 30-second appeal as why I shouldn't hit that snooze button. You know what? Every time I hit the snooze button,
and I can see you look dead in their eye.
Yeah, I'll hear them out.
Slowly.
I grew up without arms, and I've made myself into a tiny doctor. I'm only 8, and I cry all the time, and beep, right back to bed.
A tiny 8-year-old harmless doctor.
Am I an outlier in that I just don't hit the snooze button?
Like, yes.
Yeah, you're a freak.
You don't sleep.
You
Larry.
Do three podcasts to wake up. You're a monster.
I mean, you're saying I'm just a young go-hard?
Yeah.
I mean, I would have no problem strangling out a person right in front of me, but
I don't want a reward for it.
Yeah, I don't need a
No, I don't.
Stimulus.
He doesn't want to go back to sleep.
Yeah.
If he got to do another, oh, he's got the fear of sleep thing. If
fact,
I had to kill 13
felt
people
alive,
just to not go to bed tonight,
he would strangle someone to get another early morning podcast.
Well, that's how you feel alive, right?
Yeah,
the sleep is when the dreams come, and the dreams are never pretty.
You watched Nightmare on Elm Street one.
I hate
times.
My dreams.
Serious thing on the job front, you're not going to find the job you want. No one I've ever talked to has gotten your standard easily described job and been really thrilled with it. I think that one of the advantages to being sort of listless in the employment area of your life is that you can kind of figure out what you want to be doing. You can take four or five shitty jobs knowing that you're not building a career out of any of them and that you're just sort of figuring out what type of work you enjoy doing, the category of work. And then once you do decide to make a career out of that style of work, you get in somewhere at the low level and you start just doing shit that no one's telling you to do to build the job you want.
I would also say move out of Park Slope because Park Slope fucking sucks when you're 26. Park Slope is like a place for, you know, people just – it's Strollerville. It's like all people starting a family and it's very like boring intellectual Brooklyn where everybody's like, I'm smart and I work for a zine and blah. It's just
if everyone talked like that, I would be instantly annoyed.
Like Williamsburg is obnoxious because it's all hipstery, but if you go to Williamsburg, at least they're like partying and having fun. Park Slope, they're just sort of being boring and white.
I would also say the thing in your mind that's like how things are going to work out is never like people ask me all the time, and I'm sure they ask Vince too. Like, well, how do I become a writer? And it's like, well, just go bang yourself against a wall for about 5 years. And then you two can become a writer. Like, it's not like someone hands you a gig that where you can sit at home in your blogger jorts. Like,
yeah.
They're not giving those out, right?
No, you have to make them. You take regular jeans and you cut them real high to the crotch.
Like, you got to go get that. So
yeah, you got to go to the store. You got to buy jeans.
I like JCPenney and you cut them real high to the crotch. I want to see one nut on either side of the legs, just right down.
And then you got to get a computer. And then you got to get internet.
Don't get the computer on your nuts. Sometimes it gets hot.
And then it'll get hot, especially when you're jorts with your exposed balls.
No ventilation.
Like, you got to create a Twitter account. You think that's easy? Not easy.
It's hard.
Then you got to get on the front page of film.com, right, Vince?
Ooh. Ouch.
The other thing is when you're 26, you sort of feel like all these other people are doing all these things. They're really not.
Yeah, exactly.
They're super lame and you don't want to emulate them.
I hadn't really done anything. I had farted around trying to make it in football, which didn't happen. And when I finally...
You got some really good stories, though.
When I did get some good stories out of it. When I finally was like, okay, I got to, you know, join the workforce in a meaningful way. I felt like I was so far behind, like what a bunch of other people were doing.
Because half of what people do in the working world is pretend they're like on a track. Like everybody has to sort of tell themselves that they're on this career path or that they're on this track and they know what they're doing. No one fucking knows what they're doing.
Well, you starting Film Drunk was a series of other things that you were doing sort of on the side. That eventually led to you writing full time. So it's not like you said, I want to be a writer. I'm just going to have.
Well, I mean, I said I wanted to be a writer, but it was like.
But it took a lot.
There's a lot of different.
The writing company.
I couldn't just
You didn't mail a pamphlet.
Yeah, I couldn't have the president of writing like take me on his fucking.
Well, that's write this turtle.
Yeah,
and whatever job you get, there will be some idiot who has the same job. That you're like, how did this guy get this job? I hate this person so much. Like, that will just happen.
Yeah. Still does every day.
Like, even if you're an astronaut, the guy next to you in the cockpit, you're like, oh, I hate this guy.
John Glenn.
Speaking of which, Armin White tweeted you back.
Oh, yeah. You saw that?
That's
pretty great. Yeah.
How did it go?
It went well. I don't think he knows who I am or anything like that. I was just like, I think he started searching himself on Twitter.
Well, I looked at his profile.
Can you do that?
He follows like three people.
Yeah.
Yeah. It might help if you say, do you know who I am?
Yeah, I love to. That's the phrase I love to throw around being a fucking blogger.
Oh, as long as you put multiple question marks on the end, then it's valid.
Yeah. No, I said something like, I can't wait for Armin White's Killing Me Softly review.
Which one is that?
Someone with Brad Pitt.
Gangster.
I actually liked it quite a bit. I think you guys would like it.
I heard it's kind of up its own ass a little.
You know, what did you think, Laramie? I didn't think it was. Like, I don't know. It's like a – the way I describe it is it's kind of like a Motorhead song. It's kind of like – it's very reactionary.
I'm following you.
It's very reactionary. It's very simple. Like, if you take it as it trying to be some sort of high-minded political allegory, it's fucking stupid. It's kind of like –
I read a review that was like, oh, it's this bullshit high-minded political allegory.
It's not at all. I mean, I think it might –
it's jailbait.
Seriously.
I think it might think it is, but it's like this short, short, fast, angry movie that just – it's just like a good – you know, Motorhead song.
What I love is it's going to make everyone mad on all sides of the aisle.
It didn't make me mad. It made me happy.
Oh, really?
Yes.
It's all like American Dream, pee on that.
Yeah, it just shits on everything.
Yeah. It's just like, oh, you believe in Obama? How's my butt taste?
Yeah, pretty much. Wow. That's what I loved about it. Like, and it's just, you know how in The Hurt Locker, they're like, war is a drug, and then that's the entire movie, is war being a drug? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that. Like, it's got one all-encompassing line that comes at the end, and then it's like all in service of. It's like a very narrow, very like fully realized, fucking straightforward thing. And then there's a lot of like Johnny Cash and people getting shot in the head. So.
That's cool.
There are some death scenes though that are worth the price of admission.
Oh, and then Glonesy McGlone's in it.
Uh-huh. And James Gandolfini is sublime.
He's the most disgusting, like as disgusting as he was in 8mm, where he was like the snuff film director.
Yeah, he's the only breath actor out there. And what I mean by that is he's acting with his like, what is corpulence?
He can't breathe out of his nose. So he's just sort of like, he's sort of whistling and like half breathing out of his mouth.
I mean, it's amazing. On Sopranos too. Yeah. Oh, he just stare at someone and go.
But it's great. It says so much.
Brendan has the microphone in his nose right now.
Inside his nostril.
Yeah. So I was just like, I can't wait for Armin White's review because he's gonna fucking hate it because Armin White loves to be like sort of, you know, uplifted.
And he tweeted you.
Yeah,
uplifted by the Transformers.
And he said, it's coming. Hold on to your hat.
Yeah.
He said, Vince.
Yeah, he described me by name, yeah. Which is great. Vince. That felt real good.
Hold your hat.
To be honest, I'm probably Armin White's biggest fan.
Easily.
You were at the 1936 Bull Moose.
Like, find me.
Literally finds about junior college Armin White.
Yeah. Find me another person who eagerly awaits Armin White's reviews like I do, and I would be very surprised.
I don't think that person exists.
Yeah. I don't either.
Hey, bring that person to me.
No.
I was going to say it doesn't match the fascism of flight that was genius in its opacity or something. Mm.
Its effervescence was unmatched only by its farticulatory. I'm too drunk to make up words.
He's only halfway through his dry glass, too.
That's really tall.
You can't let that go. He's going to drink that while he's here. Oh, yeah. No.
He will drink anything you put in front of him.
Especially if it's rye.
You know what I just realized? Whenever I did junior college Armin White, it was sort of a mix between this guy I went to high school with named Jordan. And
I noticed that angle.
And Brad Pitt's character in True Romance, Floyd.
Yeah. Well, Floyd is like the prototypical junior college Armin White.
Yeah.
Fucking it.
Where he's all baked and they're asking him all the questions and he's like pretends like he's on a game show, like he's got the buzzer.
No. Smoking out of a honey bear?
Yeah.
I was Yeah, that was great. I was trying to remember the Armin White sentence that I read recently that just like, oh man, this is such an Armin White sentence.
Does it involve vociferous?
Oh, pretty close. It's in his Life of Pi review. In order for the film's premise to work, it needs the inspiration of a true cinematic artist, not someone literally popularizing a prize-winning book. Lee is ambitious. Look at his far-flung filmography, the Golly Moffrey of a middlebrow who subscribes to the New York Review of Brooks.
The old Golly Moffrey!
It's not done. That's just the parenthetical. Look at his far-flung filmography, the Golly Moffrey of a middlebrow who subscribes to the New York Review of Books. Yet, he is also far too cautious to exult in cinematic phenomena.
Filth, flarm, filth, flarm, filth.
That's how he finished it.
Really,
that was the last sentence.
Yeah.
I didn't see no fluff.
Laramie.
Yes?
Bro.
Hey, bro.
Did you end up seeing Beast of the Southern Wild?
I'm not doing it, man.
Fair enough.
I just read the synopsis on IMDb. Like, I've done it like 6 times. And I'm like, nah.
All right, so
they're playing the preview on the airplane to Chicago nonstop.
All right, so you guys,
not like that.
You guys,
like,
you guys always get bored when I talk about movies you haven't seen. So I pulled some clips to explain to you what I'm talking about with this movie.
Oh, cool! It looked exciting in the preview. Like it's in his head partially, but it's also because his dad left or something.
All right, you know what it is? It's basically a great MGMT video starring like in a super cute little black girl.
But isn't it also an Odysseus tale? Ulysses?
No, not at all. Not even close. What it is also
that was what,
it's,
that was what the plane book did.
It's a movie about super poor black people from Louisiana as written by like 20 something white people from New York.
Oh.
Yeah.
That was like an Onion article.
Oh, it is the most it's basically like you know the thing about Louisiana is it's a land of noble savages and magic Negroes that are just frolicking in the land of cinematic cliche. That's basically what.
Well, there is because you know the Onion has that recurring thing where it's ask and it's an advice column.
Yeah.
But the person giving the answer is always a very specific thing. Like one time, it was a woman helping her husband back the RV out of a parking spot. and
God.
Right, so they do a good job of that. One was ask an elderly black woman as realized by a sophomore creative writing major.
Oh yeah, that's exactly what this movie is. I mean, like the director. The worst part is everybody loves this movie because it's a bunch of white people congratulating black people because the black
people did it.
Because they're congratulating.
Wait, no, we did it for you.
The white people are congratulating the idea of black people that another white person wrote, basically.
Oh, wow.
We like them.
Yeah.
This goes way deeper than we ever thought.
Yeah. Well, it's basically like if you wrote a movie about poor people in Louisiana based on what our idea of a poor person in Louisiana was like, and I was like, man, that is so deep because that's exactly what I always wanted to think about what a poor person in Louisiana is like. And that's basically like the fucking Beast of the Southern Wild effect. And all the characters talk in this like they talk like jazz musicians where they sort of have a meaning but not really.
So is every part played by Terrence Howard? It's like the clumps?
Pretty close. The main girl's name's Hush Puppy.
Is this like a Toni Morrison novel come to life?
Pretty close. It's like a Toni Morrison novel. It's written by like a rich kid from New York. And
do they all have sweet names? Like it's Hush Puppy and
I'm not sure what the dad's actual name is.
Brown Sugar
Pop Tea Daddy.
My favorite. This is the scene that sums up everything I hated about this movie. It's the little girl Hush Puppy. She just basically swims off of her island in Louisiana and gets picked up by this.
Whoa.
Don't go there. I know where you're going.
I wasn't even saying anything.
Yeah, don't.
Obvious joke is obvious.
Yes. So just they swim towards this boat. They get picked up by this white boat captain, and this is the exchange that happens between Hush Puppy and the boat captain. Oh, shit. Hold on. Damn it. Why is it starting in the middle of the
clip? Which tab is it?
Here we go. And there's a lot of music. That's why people like it, because it looks pretty, it's got good music, and the little girl's cute, basically.
Which way are we going?
It don't matter, baby. This boat will take you exactly where you need to be. Just that kind of boat. Want a chicken biscuit?
You want a chicken biscuit?
That's not what he said. He said, you want chicken biscuit?
It's good for you.
It's good for you.
I've been eating these all my life.
We got it.
I keep the wrappers in the boat because they remind me of who I was when I ate each one. The smell makes me feel cohesive.
I
want
to be cohesive.
Sure you will, baby. No doubt in my mind.
I just
I'm going to go jump off the balcony real quick.
No, but see, he keeps all the chicken wrappers.
But doesn't she tame a monster?
If you tried that in an episode of Hoarders, they'd be all over you.
She tames a monster. That's a pretty good scene, but the monster's all in her head, and it's a fucking stupid metaphor for nothing.
Why can't you just tame a monster for once and not have it be a metaphor?
I know. Here, I got the clip that sets up the monster.
I don't care.
No,
Fred's
but see
angry now.
But see,
he's gonna wear his crown of
I wrote it. I wrote it down while I was on the plane. I was like, maybe see.
No, but see,
the Southern Wild.
He keeps all the wrappers of the chicken biscuits that he's ever eaten in his life because they remind him of who he was when he ate
that.
That
must be a lot of wrappers.
It was a lot of wrappers.
Like a room full.
It
of
seems
wrappers.
Like a perfectly logical thing for a person to do, though, right?
Especially when you eat a lot of chicken biscuits.
Were they like McDonald's wrappers?
I think they might have been Chick-fil-A.
Oh, racist.
Yeah, because he hates gays.
It's part of the buffet of the universe. Meat. Meat, meat, meat.
Brett likes it.
Every animal is made out of meat. I'm meat. Y'all ass is meat. Everything is part of the buffet of the universe. This here is an aurochs, a fierce, mean creature that walked the face of the earth back when we all lived in the caves. And they would gobble them cave babies down right in front of the cave baby parents. And the cavemans, they couldn't even do nothing about it because they was too poor and too small. Who up in here think that the cavemans were sitting around crying like a bunch of pussies? Y'all better think about that, cause any day now, fabric of the universe is coming unraveled. Ice caps gonna melt, water's gonna rise, and everything south of the levee is going under. Y'all better learn how to survive now.
Pretty deep though, right?
I feel like it's a poor attempt at the classic opening scene from Boys in the Hood, where he's like, this Africa. Everybody came from Africa. And then Ice Cube, as a young man, is like, I ain't from no Africa, you African booty scratcher. Yeah. And they start fighting.
Yeah, so true.
Yeah.
That sounds like a movie I would hate.
Yeah.
That seems very up its own ass.
It was very, very up its own ass. Well, it's one of those movies that I don't think is horrible, but like when a bunch of people act like it's great, it makes me angry. I remember when Amy was at Fordham, and I would go see some of the plays. Cause she's in the theater department at Fordham. And I went to see this one play, and it was a fucking three-hour play about, like, New Orleans during Katrina. And it turned out, like, some kid who was a 21-year-old kid from New York who had never fucking been to New Orleans wrote a fucking three-hour play about Katrina. So it was basically like what a young kid imagined of another place with just like sort of, you know, drama school cliches where everybody like yells at each other and like beats their chest and there's like crying and family drama.
Some really good asides.
Mama says talking. When the lever breaks, we all have to run.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Kirk Lazarus. Like the whole movie is Kirk Lazarus, where he's just where it's like,
you get gone now.
Yeah, and that's what the whole Beast of the Southern Wild
leave
felt like.
Me be, but Daddy, we can't leave you. I ain't nothing but an old man. You got the rest of your life ahead of you. Now get. No, Dad, we ain't leaving. He picks up a rock, throws it. Get! I said get!
You know what's funny?
Gentle Ben.
What?
There is that almost exact scene in fucking Beast of the Southern Wild.
Really?
I swear to God, I almost pulled it. Where he's just like, I'm dying. Everybody's daddy died. Now get out of here. Don't you see us, puppet? I can't take care of you no more. Like, seriously. Like,
now
you just
get.
Described an entire scene of fucking Beast of the Southern Wild.
Yeah. Where he throws the one rock, but she doesn't want to go yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got to throw a couple.
I don't love you no more.
She looks down like, really? He's throwing rocks? And he throws another one, and it gets really close, and she has to sort of jump out of the way.
Yeah. She, like, yeah. She looks at her paws.
And she sort of starts jogging and then takes one look back and then just runs.
Man, you validated. you validated my hatred so well because you like predicted an entire scene having not seen it, the movie at all.
You can make that Oscar out to Fraudcast Brendan.
Yeah.
And I will take my $1 million bonus.
It might get an Oscar nomination. It got an Independent Spirit nomination.
Oh, it sounds like it's totally getting an Oscar nomination. That scene is specifically written to get an Oscar nomination. I know because I wrote it because the Oscar winning movie in my head contains that scene.
While watching
I'm also going to sue Beast in the Southern Wild.
Every animal yes. movie ever.
Right. I don't love you. You belong in the wilderness.
You think you know something, Hush Puppy? You don't know nothing.
Oh, that scene's in there too.
You think you so smart, don't you, Hush Puppy?
Laramie was in the movie.
Precious has AIDS.
Someone has AIDS in this movie.
Brent, you're so good at this game.
I ever tell you why we named you Hush Puppy, Hush Puppy? Because you was fried the minute you was born. Didn't have a chance in the oil.
You ain't better than no piece of chicken under a heat lamp.
That was in the movie, too.
Is that how Hush Puppies are made?
Did you guys see that Jonah Hex during the Black Friday sales was 69 cents on Amazon?
Really?
It's still overpriced.
People give me so much shit for that review, and I'm like, dude, how much fun did we have at that movie?
That was the best movie I had seen that year.
That movie was so much fun.
Ridiculous. And we were one of, what, seven people there? There were three other people.
My favorite will always be the Target with the shape
so
of the building.
So good! It was so good!
In the shape of the Capitol building.
Turnbull!
Turnbull! It's like, wait, which building is it? I got the scope right here.
It's lined up perfect.
It was like they cut out everything except like horrible expository dialogue. It's like, where are you going, Turnbull? I'm going to the Capitol to do some stuff. What?
Can't talk now. Threw up a crow. Spirit animal.
Everybody was like, "Oh, that movie was awful." I'm like, "Yeah, but God, it was so gloriously awful."
It's this generation's Red Dawn, is what Jonah Hex says.
Does someone complain about having sore feet in Beast Wars?
Ooh,
that's a good one.
As a metaphor for their life being over.
No, I don't think. I'm
just complaining.
What about a sore back?
Sore back.
No.
Maybe some humming.
There's a lot of songs. There's a lot of music.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh! My favorite part is the dad's teaching the daughter how to fish because you know there's just a couple of good old Louisiana rednecks. You know they go noodling. You know you catch catfish with your hands. He's got this boat that they're on, and he's teaching Hush Puppy how to fish.
You know four people on the planet actually do that, right?
Yeah. And he reaches his hand, and like his hand's barely – he's on the boat. He's not even in the water. His hand's barely like elbow deep in the water, and he's teaching us, all right, Hush Puppy, you got to do this. And he just like grabs – he grabs the catfish and pulls it out.
That's how you noodle out of the water.
Like, really? You think you can just pull a fish out of the water without even getting your fucking armpit wet? Give me a break, dude. And then he, like, punches the fish. Like, this is how you gotta catch a catfish. This is how you gotta catch a catfish, Hush Puppy.
It's kind of awesome just reaching into the water and just randomly pulling a fish.
That's
out.
What he does.
It's what they it's learned like, off of TLC.
It's like noodling means you have to find, like, a submerged log somewhere, swim down like a fucking crazy person,
and then bite it until it decides that it wants to kill you and then bites your arm.
That is the craziest shit ever.
Up to the wrist.
Dad, I would rather. I was hungry. Well, then you be need to learn how to fish.
I would rather go diving in one of those shark cages than noodle.
Dude, I'd be in a shark cage in a heartbeat.
I couldn't think of what the verb was for noodling. I knew I'd seen it, but I couldn't think of it. And this is when I was playing football, and I asked this dude who played at LSU and was just a total redneck. He actually asked – this is NFL Europe. There's these Swedish guys on the team. And
there's Swedish guys playing football?
Yeah, yeah. They play a lot of football over there. Because every team has to have a certain amount of non-American players.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And
is
so
is it just this fucked up lineup where you're like 6'7", 250 pounds?
Yes,
six
I am. Yeah, I am Punta. Yeah,
and then just pretty much. A 5-foot dude that weighs 150.
And they had to play on alternating series. You had to have at least one non-American player, and it was horrendous. But anyway.
Because we're teaching the world the game.
So these Swedish guys come walking in the locker room. He's like, Gutentag! And the Swedish guy's like, what is that, German or something? You know, like in perfect English. But anyway.
I speak better English than you.
Yeah. Anyway, I go, hey, what do you call those guys that, because he went to LSU. He's from Louisiana. He knows this shit. Like, what do you call those guys who, you know, they stick their arms in and they're trying to catch the catfish, you know, but without, and he goes, stupid.
True. Yeah. Got you there, man. Got you on a technicality.
I didn't disagree with
him. Yeah. I saw a show on Discovery today called Moonshiners about guys that still make moonshine. And I was very confused because isn't alcohol, like, legal now? Like, what are you...
So it's still illegal to make it.
But
moonshine's not, though.
But why are you...
What's the premise? Because the stuff they make is poisonous.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Why is it poisonous?
Because they don't always make it right.
Don't you, this has been covered on the Frotcast already.
You get the Jake leg.
You get the Jake leg. Yeah.
No. With the Jimmy Crickets.
No, the poison. The poison.
Jimmy Ricketts. Is it the Jimmy Ricketts?
The poison.
The Jake leg. The Jake leg is what my mom, with no hint of irony, warned me against.
It's the Jiminy Ricketts. Like, it's your conscience that makes you shake.
No, but the poison stuff was when they took industrial alcohol and they put poison in it so people wouldn't drink it. That's what you get sick from.
Hardcore double fermentation can go wrong in a couple of ways. You can blow yourself up because of the forces. There's like... You're harnessing the stars, Vince.
No, you're not. You're just boiling it at a different temperature.
Why do you think they call it moonshine?
Are you making liquor?
Gravity.
Because you do it in the dark.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
You no.
By the yes, light it of the moon. Is. You do it while the light of the
tiny
moon.
Sun inside of the distillery.
There's like a big bang.
So you took the sun out of the sky and you're making sweet nectar.
It's against God. It ain't natural. I'll tell you.
How am I supposed to tell my kids?
you just have booze whenever you want.
How am I supposed to tell my kids we harness the sun's power just to make strong booze?
It's just weird. Like, who's buying the moonshine when you can buy, like, any alcohol legally?
No. This is different.
They're like, oh, we saved, like, 10% on taxes because we sold it illegally. I don't. What is it? What is the difference?
It's like jet fuel. Like, I've had moonshine. It should be super illegal. It causes people to go blind.
No, it doesn't. That's wood alcohol.
It causes people to go blind all
no,
the time.
No, it doesn't. That is wood alcohol. Moonshine does not cause... All the only difference between moonshine and
moonshine
regular...
Moonshine is made out of wood alcohol.
No, it is not. It's just fucking the same thing. The only difference is, like, you make a vodka and you distill it up. You can distill it up to, like... 180 some proof, but then they generally water it back down to 50% alcohol. But you can still buy like Everclear and shit like that.
Alcohol.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't understand the illegal component.
I think it's also a cultural thing because different guy that I knew from football was from Tennessee, and he would always call me all drunk, and he's like, "Hey, listen, man, I got to figure out a way to send you out some of this White Lightning." Like, yeah. He was all excited about it. Like, he really wanted me to try it. And I was like, I think I was like living with my parents at the time. I was like, hey, I just can go to a bar or whatever. Like, no, you don't understand.
I would like to drink some of it.
I can get you some.
Could you?
I got to run it down there.
Oh, yeah?
Across the border.
You got a Model A?
I've got a chunk of family in West Virginia. And they swear up and down that in the Prohibition times, like my... The great grandfather and everything were running moonshine, which is, I don't know if that's true or not. I'm sure everyone brags that at some point.
My great grandfather, it was a bootlegger. He had a vegetable cart in San Francisco, and
he was full of cabbage.
And he would say, "No, he was a vegetable man." He had a terrible eye. Hey, vegetable man! I got your vegetables. Come and get your vegetable. Hey. Come and get your vegetable. And then he sold.
What about cabbage?
He sold booze out of his vegetable cart. Cabbage? That's my grandfather.
What did he say about his cabbage?
Hey, who gonna buy my cabbage? Who gonna pay for all of his cabbage? Who gonna pay for it? Somebody elephant come over and steal my cabbage. Who this big elephant come over and steal my cabbage?
I think the elephant drunk.
Who's a big elephant?
going to come over. How am I going to make a pizza to pie?
While I was paying the squirrel painting at my girlfriend's parents' house, which is the only place I can watch live TV now, I watched part of that movie, The Water for Elephants, which is all about elephants being drunk, which is weird. I had to stop watching after 5 minutes. And the 5 minutes would happen at intervals, right? Where I'd be like, doing my thing, look over, kind of get caught up in this. Now I have to leave in 5 minutes. That is an awful shaped movie. Like, if you watch it all the way through, it might be all right. But any given chunk of it is like a marble that you swallowed and you can feel go down your fucking...
Yeah, you're going to have to explain that a little further.
It was just a shiny glass orb of sappiness.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But it's also about a fucking circus in the 30s.
Yeah.
I did not deny that it was really dumb.
Yeah, it's just a hardened circular saccharin. It's really dumb. Saccharin.
But I will forgive a lot for, like, 30s circus slang.
So... Going back to the bootlegging thing, do you think that maybe some of it has to do with dry counties?
I don't think so. It didn't seem to be the case.
I would think it's more illegal to make it. You need permits and shit.
I would think it's more like
still.
a side. No, but I'm saying that it's a lot easier for if you live in a dry county, if you set up a shop, you can probably do some pretty good business rather than rely on people who would want to drive 45 minutes just to buy some booze.
I think it's more that you can just make like 80% alcohol moonshine instead of
I think it's more probably
50%
like a
alcohol whiskey.
To rural parts of
yeah,
the country.
Really. I mean, because probably even in non-dry counties, if you're in like rural West Virginia, it's probably a 20-minute drive to the liquor store.
Well, some people probably it's passed down. Like I like my moonshine.
You'd be surprised how many dry counties are. I've talked to a couple different guys who went to school in dry counties, and I was like,
yuck.
How the fuck would that ever? You know, Ole Miss is a dry county.
I don't go there.
You know what else it is? White County.
Yeah. And I actually didn't know that, and someone told me.
So I guess actually
a lot of
the...
We got an email from a Mississippi person.
A lot of the distillery rules are being loosened in New York and East Coast especially. So if any Frogcast listeners have any good gin recommendations, I guess gin's the thing that people are going to first. It's like hoppy beer in that it's easy to make well, whereas some of the more refined shit's a little more difficult. So I guess there's a bunch of like good pop-up gin places, and gin's my fucking shit.
Gin's weird because... It's by far the best mixer, but it's something that you can't drink straight ever.
What are you talking about? It's essentially a martini. A little vermouth. You're not doing much.
Yeah, but you're putting something in there. It's a mixer. Still a mixer.
Well, you wouldn't take a shot of gin unless you're fucking...
Exactly. But you also... I also wouldn't drink gin on the rocks.
True.
I don't like gin, so...
Touché.
Yeah. That's how I feel about that, Ben.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Just anytime you want to just... talk about gin, you can just
you can talk all the shit on gin you want. You try a vodka martini versus a gin martini, the gin kicks the shit out of the vodka.
I'll just go ahead and pass on both. There is
fair.
On my
that's your prerogative, man.
There's on my shuffle, the new shuffle, it'll tell you the name of the song.
And, it's always gin.
Close
gin blossoms.
There's a song that I have called Thuggin, thuggin, and it's in the robotic voice. It says thug gin. which my brother said, how has someone not made and marketed Thug Gin? Right.
That's a great idea.
Thug Gin.
I have a hard time with the shuffle.
Two genius ideas tonight put together into.
I bought a shuffle. I bought a waterproof iPod shuffle so I can listen to it while I swim laps. Only problem with that is that when you listen to books on tape, I forgot that an iPod shuffle doesn't like say track or anything like listing or anything like that. So like if you get lost somewhere,
you're lost in the middle of the book.
You're fucking lost in the middle of like a 14-hour book.
Well,
I was about to make a stupid joke about it was the best of times. It was a
they've been sick.
He's got the rum snort. I'm sorry.
Call me Ishmael.
Sorry, son. Your daddy's got the rye snorts.
The rest of the Jake Legg and the Jiminy Crickets combined.
He's got a little bit of the shiv.
Yeah, remember my mom warned me that I would get the Jake Legg because our friend Justin, when he was living in his parents' house, was brewing beer.
Another story about Brendan's mom. We told the toilet bleach story?
We told them all, baby.
Well, we could tell it again because it's a great story.
Can we? Yeah, Laramie, you want to hear this one?
It's been at least 100 Frogcasts since we told that story.
Yeah, I'll hit it. Let's do it.
So Brendan was cleaning the toilet at his apartment. Mom does. Yep. Or your mom bought you some bleach to clean the toilet.
No, it had been, so here's the deal. It was during training camp, so I had been living in the dorms. And I gave a key to my mom because she was horrified that there was no groceries at my apartment. So she was very nice of her. Yeah, she went to Ralph's and picked up some groceries.
We actually had a segment on Film Drunk called Brendan's Mom Reviews, which I would love to start up again. But Brendan is like wants to shield his mom.
His mom is a very nice lady.
Yeah. She is. But everybody was fairly, they were not too bad in the comment section.
Someone asked if the carpet matched the drapes.
Yeah, but whatever. They're internet commenters. What do you expect?
I was trying to shield her from those.
Yeah. I can go through and delete them next time.
We could bring it back. She sees movies on the reg. We could bring that feature back.
Laramie, are you in a truck? Where are you going, Laramie?
What happened there?
It sounds like you're on top of the roof of a car.
I would love to bring that back because she has some fantastic movie reviews.
She did. She called someone unattractive, which was so funny for some reason. It was like Anna Paquin.
Oh, yeah, Anna Paquin.
She's kind of unattractive.
Like, you know, kids say the darndest things. It's like parents have the darndest movie reviews. It's sort of that.
It was like in a very earnest way.
Yeah.
Basically, she bought a bunch of groceries. She's like, okay, so I got you a bunch of groceries. And this is like after football practice. We're like all sweaty and I'm like walking back to the locker room. And she's like, well, you know, I got you all this stuff and I got you some soup and blah, blah, blah. And she's like naming all the things she got me. And she goes, I also got you some bleach to clean the toilet. Now listen to me very carefully. When you pour the bleach into the toilet, make sure it's close to the water. Because if you hold the bottle up too high, it can hit the water too hard and splash into your eye.
I thought she gave you goggles.
No. I think that's part of the embellishment that had taken place.
It was just a warning.
Yeah, it was a warning. And actually, to this day, my dad, now when my parents call me or I call my parents, they immediately go to speaker so they can both talk to me.
And you have like movie parents.
Yeah. And my dad, my dad goes, yeah, don't pour any bleach in your eye. I also have movie parents because I went over to my parents' house and on Thanksgiving, and I called my dad. It was like halfway through the football game. And I said, hey, can you just record this game so when I get there, I don't miss any of it? Because it was about to go to overtime. It was that Lions game. And I get there, and he's like, oh, yeah, it's on the DVR. So I hit list, and he's got the game. And then he's got, like, Wings Over Vietnam. And then he's got the O'Reilly Factor. And those are, like, the three things he had saved on his DVR. Oh, Dad.
One episode of each, because you don't want that extra fat just fattening up your VCR.
Right. Or DVR. Sorry, what were you about to say? Movie parents?
No, I was just saying, like, if there was you have, like, the parents that would be written into a rom-com.
They're kind of rom-com-y. In college, a lot of people joked Meet the Parents was very... Which, I don't think my dad's quite that hardcore, but...
Yeah. My parents can be in a rom-com. My dad would just require, like, just reams and reams of backstory.
Yeah. He's the wacky dad.
Yeah, definitely.
He's the wacky dad who helps you live a little.
Yeah. Yeah, like, that's my boy mixed with, like... Yeah, I don't know.
He might mix with Meet the Fockers.
Yeah.
He might always be towing a boat all the time.
I saw his balls while he's changing in the hallway.
I think everyone did.
Yeah.
Happens.
You guys want to hear something gross?
What?
You drink a Tecate after a boon, it'll taste like tuna fish the whole time.
That's good. It's like a Clamato.
Tuna beer.
It's like a chelada.
No, it's
not. Pop that beer.
We haven't heard from Laramie, what are you doing over there?
My dad's dead. Sorry. In the living years. You guys know that song?
No.
No.
But you know what? I heard Man in the Mirror the other day. Like someone sang it on The Voice. And now every time I hear Michael Jackson, I think of you.
Yep, that's why you should.
Laramie bought a Michael Jackson. What was it? Greatest. What was it?
The double essential.
No, it had the Jackson 5 on there too. It was the anthology. It was the whole fucking thing.
He bought like the Michael Jackson anthology when we went to Chicago, and he played it in the car.
Double disc. What's fucked up?
I'm talking to the man in the mirror.
When it gets stuck in my head, it's stuck in Laramie's voice.
Asking you to change his ways.
Can I get a little some of that? You guys, I was relentless with that stuff.
Can I get a little some of that, Laramie, just to put the ghosts to bed?
I'm asking him to change his ways.
That's what it's like inside of my head.
No message could be any clearer. Good song.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. And then I said something about there's a lot of like starving Biafran children in that video, and
it's just like it's just a parade of
it's just like let's
UNICEF
let's
images.
Imagery. Yeah, let's just find a sorrowful images.
The best dark song footage on that album by a million times is him and Paul McCartney, "The Girl Is Mine." There's so much going on in that song.
There's a lot of backstory, a lot of pathos.
He's like he's like to Paul. He's like, "Sorry, Paul, I told you I'm a lover, not a fighter." And Paul's like, "The girl told me she loves me." And it's like, what girl likes Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson, first off?
I watched
is this girl 8? 3? Is she a boy?
Could be both.
In succession.
I saw the music video for Bad recently.
Uh-huh.
And the only thing that surprised me...
You think you're bad?
Is that
Wesley Snipes.
The only thing that surprised me is it doesn't end with a giant male gangbang. That is the only thing that surprised me, because...
You ain't down. You ain't bad.
Get down.
Oh, wait, no, that's Smooth Criminal.
That's a
it was
great
such a simpler
video,
time, though, that Michael Jackson could actually pretend that he was, like, street.
Yeah.
There was some excellent dancing in that video. There's first of all, you've got the guy who is doing the splits on roller skates and pulls himself up by
that
the back of his
awesome
shirt, then starts moonwalking on the roller skates.
Well, he doesn't even moonwalk. He walks in place.
Yeah, yeah. And then you've got the guys who they're kind of popping and locking, and then they all jump at once. And the popping and locking actually includes a high five, which is a very underrated 80s dance move, is integrating a high five at some point into your dance move.
Chappelle was brilliant in that he brought the shake – like the shake dance guy from the Thriller video, where he like starts out slow and then all of a sudden he like just starts shaking.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah. Talking
where
about?
Like he like starts to vibrate
he
and then
shakes violently.
Yeah, he like sort of just vibrates.
In what sketch?
It's
Are you talking about Dave Chappelle?
Yeah.
Wait, when?
He was
some
just
point on the Chappelle.
He's got
show
the robot guy. Who...
No. He focused on the shake guy from the Thriller video.
Do you mean Sheikh Mohammed?
Yes, exactly.
You should watch Bad 25, though.
You know what's funny? You know what's funny is I remember when Bad came out, and I was so confused by the idea that Bad was a positive attribute. I was so confused.
But language just taught me otherwise.
Yeah, I was like, what? Bad is good. I don't understand this music at all.
I have to become a writer to correct this mistake.
That's Vince's backstory.
It could, yeah. Yeah, it's turned me into a supervillain.
When in the post 9/11 years, when they probably a year later when they arrested Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, that with that famous picture of him just looking so haggard,
yeah,
with his collar all stretched out. Yeah. I just remember we were all looking at this picture. We were in the locker room. We're all looking at this picture because I was in college at this point. And probably the dumbest guy on my team goes, "Yo, dog, they took that picture after some serious questioning." Which, I don't know. To me, it was always the funniest interpretation.
It's funny to think about that picture and it, like everybody has laughed at it. It's like the ultimate comedy fodder. And then you think about it and you're like, man, they tortured the shit out of that guy.
Yeah. He got waterboarded.
Like, that guy is probably fucking beating his head against a wall somewhere.
Well, it was all new territory, too, where they're like, can we do this? They're like, thumbs up, they over behind the mirror.
Patriot like, Act.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't think – I could be wrong. Send in emails if we are. But I believe they didn't even get the waterboarding with him. They just threw him in a cold room in his underwear, and he started blabbing.
No, I'm pretty sure they waterboarded.
I think they waterboarded him like more than anybody else.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like
Khalid Sheikh Mohammed?
55 times.
I thought so. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm totally wrong.
And it's not as cool as surfboarding.
Or boogie boarding, for that matter.
But it'll make you equally tired.
Like, the name sounds fun, but...
Yay! Oh!
It's actually this board where they just pull your nutsack out and they hit it with a hammer.
Hit the waterfall.
That's going to be the most horrendous thing ever, because my uncle...
Drowning is zero fun.
...used to hold me under the water all the time. Well, so I had the thing where I'm like the only boy in my family. Like, every single one of my parents' brothers and sisters had all girls. And so I had this one uncle who he was always, every time we saw him, was like, all right, let's wrestle. Like, let's rough house. Like, that was what he was all about. And man,
awesome. Seriously, though, where are the WMDs, you fucker?
Yeah. Give me the launch codes. He was like Jack Bauer.
I don't want to play with Uncle Drowndy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and we would go to my grandmother's house, and she had a pool, and we'd swim in the pool. And, man, he would hold me under there. It was like, it's the most horrifying thing. It's horrible.
That is a horrible thing.
Getting waterboarded.
Do you like a full Nelson? Because I feel like that's the approved adult way to do that.
What?
Put you in a full Nelson.
Oh, he was all about the full Nelson. That's what, he always said that. It's like, go to sleep, little prince. Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
Ah, fun.
Uncle Drowndy.
Uncle Drowndy.
It's like that scene in Last Boy Scout.
Yeah, exactly.
She ain't coming off air till she starts sucking.
Best and arm in the National
best
League.
Best arm in the league.
Fuck.
Yeah, you fat fuck.
People, it's weird because everybody else, you know, has these attachments to these kids' movies. And, you know, like movies that you watch when you're a little kid. And, I didn't have any siblings, so like kids' movies to me were like Lethal Weapon and like The Last Boy Scout.
The Last Boy Scout is a legit good movie.
Oh, it's amazing. So is Lethal Weapon.
So is Lethal Weapon.
Yeah. Mel Gibson, I know my little brother.
I know the Shane Black catalog probably better than any movie.
He's written some great movies. I love Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Yeah, I did too.
I thought that was fantastic.
I also think The Long Kiss Goodnight is underrated.
I watched that as an adult and was pleasantly surprised. I remember it being kind of cheese dick when I was a preteen.
Nah, I just pop him in the eye and yell, "Pop goes the weasel."
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's too late.
I'm talking to the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his way.
Oh, sorry. Did I drink too much rye?
It's gone.
What?
It's gone.
I'm just going to sing some songs. You guys are cool, right? Here we go.
The man in the mirror is so drunk right now.
I don't even recognize that fat, sad son of a bitch.
The man in the mirror needs to stop drinking so much rye.
That would be a good
song. The man in the mirror is going to stop drinking so much rye tomorrow.
Like a
story of my life.
An add-on show. You're just like, Vince drinks rye and sings songs for an hour.
That's
only a one-man show.
iTunes is the most feature. Popular podcast instantly.
Whatever song pops into his head.
That and I'm just spitballing here. I half remember sketches for the first hour, and then for the second hour, I sing songs that I kind of know the melody to.
You guys ever see that Saturday Night Live where he's all like,
it's got a carrot in it. Come on, guys.
Is that PM Dawn?
That sounded like "Set Adrift on Me."
Yeah,
that's
done.
The
Ben, end it.
The worst Saturday Night Live performance I ever saw. Did you see the Saturday Night Live performance when it was Coldplay?
You're just gonna become the parody.
No. Remember when you saw that, when there was that Saturday Night Live performance where it was Coldplay? It was Coldplay, and they were singing that. It was like their second or third Saturday Night Live appearance, and it was Chris Martin was just banging a bell the whole time. Like he had like a bass drum mallet and then like a bell, and he was just banging it very theatrically with like scarves blown and shit the whole time.
Coldplay is astoundingly shitty.
It's the middle class Nickelback.
Ooh. Aaron Sorkin likes it.
Is Nickelback the middle class Nickelback?
Yeah, that's,
no.
Middle class is the red Nickelback state, is the white trash Nickelback.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe upper middle class Nickelback.
Yeah. All right. You could get some lower middle class into the Nickelback. Yeah.
You have to be in a
because they own boats, but they really shouldn't have bought that boat.
Right. You have to be an astoundingly boring yuppie to enjoy Coldplay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's generally how yuppies go.
Yeah,
that's
you're never like,
wow, you're an exciting yuppie. Tell me about your job.
That's a good point also.
What right. do you do on weekends? Kickball?
That's weeknights.
Kickball.
Yeah. I think so
you crush some Bud Lights at the Horseshoe afterwards, bro.
Yeah, you do. Brennan, you know, it's been a good one tonight. I think.
Is my list being pushed the next app?
Oh, wait, you have lists still?
You should have jumped in. You let
Jesus
him
Christ. Just,
let's push
it's
him.
It's okay. We can do it next step.
Let's push him.
Dude.
We'll tease it.
Give us one.
Right
list.
Now, it's product ideas / services I could render.
Okay.
Pretty good. I'll give you one.
Okay.
From the list.
No, you got to give us at least five.
Vince. Or Vince and the crew. You guys know how sometimes you really have to take a poop, right?
Every
boy, howdy.
I do not poop
once a week.
And
like
sometimes you want to run outside and do that, right?
Acknowledge.
Every time.
But all these doors we have like their locks, their contraptions and all that.
Yes, it's garbage.
Human-sized doggy doors.
I like it.
Is it just a hinge on top? A two-way hinge?
So it's just a flap. Just you a run flap. Through.
It's a big flap.
You're pooping outside. You're peeing. You're,
like you're
in.
You're going into a freezer.
It's just into your yard.
I didn't think of the freezer angle. That's pretty good.
It's like your front yard instead of a door.
That how did we yard. Wait? Why did you speak up about the list earlier?
We were talking about PM Dawn. It was important. Moonshining.
What's your second one?
No, you can't do half a list.
No.
One or all.
All right.
Okay. So you guys know, we can all say that fire is combustion, right? Like the basis of combustion in engines is.
I like where
spark,
you're going.
Right?
I mean, I don't completely agree, but I'll.
Can't start a fire without a spark. Can we agree with that?
For the sake of this, Laramie, I'll say okay.
Okay. So, and they're always looking for energy efficient products, right?
They being.
The man.
Okay.
All right.
Spoke powered smoke machines. Okay, where there's smoke, there's power. So that thing only needs to go off when there's smoke anyway.
I like it.
You're just setting things on fire at concerts?
No, it's a smoke-powered smoke machine. No, it's a smoke alarm. I'm sorry, a smoke-powered smoke alarm.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to take that back to marketing? They need to rename that.
The very thing it's protecting you from powers it.
Oh.
So you're
that
perfectly
is efficient,
safe.
But right. Marketing is going to have to get that renamed.
It's too late to get out of the house, and you'll know it.
All right, one more, Laramie.
No, he has to do them all. There's no half list. He's just
do them
go.
All. Do
he's
them
gonna
all.
Going to go now.
He's taking through his index cards right now.
Okay, this one is definitely a service.
Oh boy!
You know how you enjoy a refreshing glass of Coke.
Boy, do I.
And you also enjoy a hand job.
Oh, heck yeah.
So, I'm a soda jerk, right? I'm doing it to you. Boom. Refreshing glass of Coke as you come to fruition.
You're going to put a fountain in my penis?
How the logistics of that work?
It's a bitchin' Coke with your chicken choke.
But it doesn't come out of my penis, though, right?
It's a Coke and a choke.
But it doesn't... But like it's not gonna right now. It's not gonna come out the tip, right?
Okay, I could be a hearkener, just guy who harkens back to better times.
Okay.
I'll go through these list mode. Baby picture photoshopper. Like a lot of people have pictures of babies that are not very good, right?
Yeah.
So I'm making your creepy baby into a keeper, maybe. ATM pin entry tech. Co-conspirator. I could be that. I could be really good at that. I think I've only got like two more here. Okay.
What is the basis of this list? You're just naming things now.
No, this is product ideas or services I could render.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
All
okay. Right. You know how we're all kind of short on cash, right?
Oh.
True.
Called Daryl's place.
But we're all looking for a thrill, aren't we?
Sorry, that was a Fresno ad.
We're people who are looking for a thrill, but we're short on cash, right?
Looking for a thrill, we're out of cash. That's
it was
true.
Just short on space, you called Daryl's.
No, we're looking for a thrill, we're short on cash.
Exactly. So I could be the guy who breaks in, ties you up and takes your shit. You don't have to give me a fee for that because I sell all your stuff. So you don't need cash on hand to get a thrill. I'm providing that endangering your life.
Can I jerk off while it's happening?
You're like an eBay robber.
What are the odds I can get a Coke and a choke during that?
Chicken choke for your bitch and Coke. Okay, last one. We are men of means, aren't we? That's kind of a juxtaposition from last one.
Well, after all that stuff we threatened people for their lives.
We recently came up.
After scaring the shit out of some people.
While they're turning off.
When you go to a fancy restaurant, what do they do? They offer you the pepper, don't they? They would you like the pepper?
They do offer you the pepper at fancy restaurants.
They're doing it and they're rolling it, right? They're giving you pepper.
Yeah, they're doing
that. But that puts you in the awkward position to have to talk to a service person. You have to say, that's enough pepper. They always say, tell me when that's enough, right?
It is awkward.
So what I'm doing is I'm the guy who steps in about the pepper, right? They're doing the pepper. I kind of know what your pepper needs are. I'm like, stop on the pepper! I said the pepper! And I just scream at them.
You're like the guy who says when.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you don't have to.
What's that title? I'm on that. What's your job title?
Guy who steps in about pepper.
Okay, you're going
to
have
to. The GW CIOP.
But the Coke doesn't come out of my penis, right?
No. The Coke and your
I mean, Brett's gonna have nightmares
your,
about
fluids
that.
Are very different.
I'm okay if I don't have to drink.
I like
Coke.
To think the Coke eventually becomes your fluids, but I'm an optimist.
I always love Laramie's lists.
Who really doesn't?
Yeah, who doesn't?
I'm a optimist.
No, don't do that, Dad. Don't do that, Dad. Brendan wants to go to bed.
Last time, shut this
down. Suboptimal.
I had a city commissioner automator on here because I can't figure out what city commissioners do.
They commission.
So I would just automate that process.
Good call.
I think you just did it right there.
Yeah, Brandon, we could digitize it.
Brendan, we cracked 2 hours again.
Did we really? When did you say something?
Ryan, very scary.
Yeah, you can't really.
You're
stop
too busy questioning the plausibility of Moonshine Enterprises.
You really sticking it to the man.
I stand by that questioning.
The line of questioning or the question itself?
This has all gone downhill.
When you guys worked Ufford over for 2.5 hours, I emailed Ben and I'm like, if you wanted to make me jealous, it worked.
Well, they liked the last 2 hour show, so maybe they'll like this one.
Hey, they're not turning it off.
Maybe you drive back home for Thanksgiving because Lord knows you didn't get enough shit from your family.
You worked that over like a ham hock.
All right. Laramie, thanks for coming on.
Thank you, sir.
All right. So email your questions to frockcast@gmail.com.
We love your questions, by the way.
We do love your questions.
They always stimulate discussion.
Yes. Because we definitely always read them.
We do.
No, I think the emails get read.
Pretty much any if you ask a question, it's gonna get answered.
The voicemails do not get read.
If your voicemail is a question, it will get played and answered.
Yeah.
If it's just some weird thing where you're trying to do something funny, but it goes on for about 5 minutes, probably not going to get played.
A lot of ramblers.
Yeah.
Hint, it's probably not funny. All right. Well, until next week, gentlemen, we'll talk to you later. Good night and good chins.
Boom.